In October last year, California became the first state to prohibit the use of four food additives, and since then other states have followed suit, including New York, Illinois, Missouri, Washington State, South Dakota, and Pennsylvania. Like a domino run gaining pace, states across the U.S. are joining the brewing skirmish to wrest control of food additive regulations from the feds. If passed, the bills will take effect on January 1, 2027, and would end the sale, delivery, distribution, holding or offering for sale of foods containing any of the food additives, along with a raft of food dyes, in each state. Unsurprisingly, this is causing deep concern in the food industry, and companies are turning to regulatory platform partners such as RegArc, which uses AI to stay on top of the latest developments. We chat to CEO Caroline Schleffer to find out more. Firstly, for my readers who are still in the dark, can you tell us what is currently happening in the States regarding food additive bans?
Yeah, so I think, in the States, it has been a situation a bit unusual recently because since a few months and a bit more than a few months, actually, we've seen some states who took the lead on enacting a new legislation, either when there was no legislation or doing legislation against federal law, and especially around food additives, when some food additives were having the grass status. Some states, starting by California, have banned some food additives, which is pretty unusual. And we've seen that the ban of four food additives has been followed from California to New York, banning seven new food additives that would reverberate far beyond the state's border. And so the food manufacturer who are complying with it are a bit puzzled on what's coming next. We're seeing kind of a domino effect from one state to another. And we're talking about big states and states that are, very important for food manufacturer. So such bills are also likely to incentivize officials at the FDA to catch up to the state's legislation and potentially eliminate the use of some of these chemicals nationwide. But it's pretty uncertain yet. And so things are very unusual for the U.S.
Can you tell us about these additives that are being banned?
Yeah, so there's the names are a bit complex to pronounce, but there's, for example, azodicarbonamide, brominated vegetable oil, butylated hydroxyanisole, so BHA, potassium bromate, propyl paraben, the red number 3, and titanium dioxide. And knowing also that, BHA is all the BHA, all these food additives except BHA are banned in Europe, for example. Mm-hmm. So the first bill that is prohibiting the use of these seven food additives in both foods and drinks sold in New York, for example, would take effect in 2025, which is pretty soon for a food manufacturer. So this is definitely something that needs to be monitored. The second bill would require companies to disclose to the state of New York when they add chemicals to food and drinks. So that's, and normally these chemicals are having the status of, the self-determined status of generally recognized as safe, so the GRAS status. Mm-hmm. So that's quite important.
Then, of course, there's all the food colorings and the House Bill 1074, which is looking to ban high fructose corn syrup as a food ingredient, citing studies poses a danger to health. Can you tell us about these?
So on this one, I don't have all the details. I don't know, Alice, if you have some, but definitely, when you look at more generally the ban of these either these additives or these ingredients, it's interesting to note that these legislation, are put are set by big states, as we mentioned, and for the food manufacturer, complying with it would be challenging to implement in such a short time. And also, that does that mean that the food manufacturer needs to reformulate a lot of product in order to implement that nationwide, or will there be different formulation depending on different states? That's quite complex for now and hard to answer because we don't know yet how this will be enforced as well. But it's likely to incentivize probably the official at the FDA to catch up with the states and eliminate these ingredients nationwide. However, the FDA is also going through restructuration, so I think with this year being political election plus all the changes happening, it's really something that will need to be closely monitored to see what will come next.
Do you believe the FDA has dropped the ball?
I don't think the FDA has dropped the ball, but it's definitely the FDA doesn't have probably all the resources that would be required to follow all these aspects. And usually the FDA has sometimes the reputation to be a bit slow. So does that mean, is it the reason why the states have kind of preempted the way in order to have things moving faster? Is it a pressure also from the consumers who are more and more informed and also concerned about the food safety? That's probably a mix of different reasons that have triggered these actions.
You've briefly touched on some, but what are the repercussions these bans will have going forward for both the country and the food industry?
So the country, I mean, so far the country had, the FDA was enacting, and there was an harmony around all the food product and the formula. And for the manufacturer, they were addressing usually the U.S. as one state, I mean, as one country and one with uniform product and formula. So it's going to be complex for a manufacturer to do one product, for example, from California, one product for other states. So definitely for the manufacturer, this is going to be a challenge. So does that mean that there will be maybe less product innovation for a while? That will be definitely a challenge for a manufacturer. On the other side, having accessibility to this product and making sure that these products are safe is going to be to require more resources as well. And at the same time, how is it going to be enforced? It's a question, how are they going to monitor what's happening? That's going to be a challenge. And the responsibility will be apparently put more on the manufacturer. So that's going also to be a challenge. And we start also to see, the easy route that would be to formulate for the most stricter regulation, but that will require a lot of work. So that can also imply that the price may, there may be a spike in terms of prices. So definitely for the consumer, there's a positive advantage probably on the food safety to see that the product are following some rules on in terms of validation of the safety of ingredients. But at the same time, it's going to be probably a slower innovation and higher prices for the food if the manufacturer have to revisit all the formulation. And not to forget also that, there is all these class actions and the risk of the low risk for the manufacturer. So probably being ready, you know, to have some lawsuit that will potentially start to arise. We've seen some recently that starts to come. So yeah, something very it's very shaky, I would say, for the manufacturer, and an environment that is definitely more uncertain than it was a few years back.
Why do you think that some of these additives were allowed for use in the US yet banned elsewhere in the world?
That's a good question. So in the US, there's this principle of generally recognized as safe, which means if a manufacturer does the research normally and their studies show that the ingredient is safe, the FDA is not checking unless there's a problem later on or a lawsuit. So usually it's on the responsibility of the manufacturer. The FDA is more hands-off on this process, whereas, for example, Europe, you have the EFSA, which is monitoring everything around the food safety and regularly revisiting, even if an ingredient or food additive has been approved, if there's recent studies that start to show some negative impact on the health of consumers, then of course they revisit the status of this food ingredient or of this additive. So I would say it's a constant re-evaluation process. And we've seen many bans of ingredient or food additives in the past years, which didn't happen in the US. Just because of the status of grass, and unless there's something happening, the grass status lets the manufacturer use these ingredients.
How do you see this entire scenario playing out? Do you see more states jumping in and following suit?
That's what we've started to see. I mean, it started by California, then New York, then I think Illinois followed recently. So we're starting to see this domino happening. So that's very likely that more states will enact their own laws and regulations. So some big company may decide to challenge the states at court. That's possible, but that will take time. Right. It's really really important to monitor closely what's happening these days, because things are very uncertain and changing very fast.
This is all really putting a lot of pressure onto food producers, but you've got a solution in RegAsk. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. Yeah. So at RegAsk, so we're an AI-driven SaaS platform, and we enable end-to-end intelligent regulatory intelligence and monitoring. So we automate partly the regulatory intelligence, but also we leverage our community of experts worldwide to help collect and comment on the regulation, and especially on the changes of regulation. So a lot of companies are using our service to monitor what's happening globally, because, you know, US used to be considered as one state, but you have, for example, Europe, you have many regulations that varies among the different European countries. The same for Asia. I mean, each country usually have their own regulations, and for a food manufacturer, it varies a lot from one country to another, and it's very important to stay aware of what's changing and how the regulations are comparing depending on countries, because when you want to launch a product in multiple countries, you need to be aware of how your formulation, but also your label, will be impacted or will be compliant depending on several countries. And what we're seeing more and more is that now the companies are asking us also to monitor state by state in the US. because of these changes. And so we're starting to see a very big interest, not only for food companies, but also cosmetic, for example, where there's also a lot of changes state by state to help them monitor the regulations and especially these changes and how these changes are impacting their product. Because as you can imagine, as soon as you start to have a few products in several states or several countries, the time that you need to have to monitor these regulations, you never know when the changes will happen. The time is very time consuming. I mean, you spend a lot of time and then you need to understand if it's how it will be applied, if it's enforced, what's the consequences for your portfolio, how can you mitigate the risk, etc. So it's very challenging. So with the technology that we have developed, this helps the company to do this work with really less effort and to be able to monitor a lot of topics, a lot of countries, and a lot of product categories, really in saving a lot of time and also in collecting, I would say in crowdsourcing the knowledge of our experts to understand what can be the impact, what can be the level of risk, and what can they do to become or to stay compliant or to put back their formulation compliance with multiple countries. So we help also companies to find a harmonized formulation whenever possible across different legislation, because we can compare the legislation and we can help the companies to find like a formulation or a label that would work for several countries or several states.
Your services, are they available only to the big producers, or are small producers also able to use them?
No, so we're really working with all sides of companies. From startup companies to mid-size, and of course large product food manufacturer or ingredient producers. Mm-hmm. I would say as soon as you need to monitor the regulations and you start to have a few products and either few region or few at least few legislation, either it's a region or it's product category or it's countries, you know that you will spend a lot of time. Most of our clients say, oh, we spend between 30 to 60% of our time to understand which regulations are applicable to us and to make sure that we are not missing out anything. And usually they rely on Google, good sense, and some connections. And you can imagine, and then they put everything either in email or in SharePoint or in Excel. So you can imagine that the time that it requires plus the risk of missing information just because you forget or someone is on holidays or you didn't have the information on time, this puts you at a high risk of missing an important information. And of course, if you miss something for about regulation, then you are at risk of non-compliance, which means that you are at risk of losing a shipment, of having your product recalled, of having lawsuit, etc. So it's a lot of risk. And on top of that, if you are aware in advance, you can kind of preempt that, and you can this can become a competitive advantage. So we're really helping the companies in that sense. So saving a lot of time, but also leveraging the technology to try to understand what are the trends in the changes, try to see which countries are usually changing. And so that this will impact the next country. For example, if a state is changing, what will be the impact may potentially in another state, which is starting to discuss. So it's really helping companies to become proactive and understanding really upfront what are the risks of changes, and if the changes have happened, what can they do, helping them on what can they do to prevent being non-compliant.
The FDA is currently reviewing Red Dye 3 under what is known as the Delaney Clause. It's currently approved for use in the EU, but I wonder if the FDA's ultimate ruling will eventually have an effect of a ban in the EU. Do you see this happening?
It's possible. There's for now on the on the diet, they're talking about cherries. So it's for now it's a limited scope in the EU, but definitely, you know, when a country starts to adopt a ban, there's questioning about the reason why. There's more scrutiny. Then the consumer also starts to be more vigilant and talking more about these additives or these ingredients. So there's a domino effect, and definitely this is never a good sign when you have an ingredient that starts to be banned in one country, especially when it's a big country like the US. The EU will definitely have a look and potentially develop further ban for such ingredients.
You mentioned your technology is AI-based. Do you see this the way of the future?
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, technology can help a lot, especially on aspects of where it requires a lot of monitoring, a lot of small tasks that can be also repetitive. So it's definitely not replacing the judgment of an expert on the interpretation, but capturing what changes, comparing documents, and also putting all this information together to start to understand the potentially leverage some trends. That's where technology is really good at. And AI, especially with the recent development of the technology, is really helping. And we're seeing that already in adjacent industries. And it's a chance also to leverage this technology, because if you look at the regulatory team, usually in food manufacturers or the industry, they are usually already very stretched. And when they should spend more time, usually they are always saying, oh, we should spend more time on the strategy, on the dossier, on understanding what are the consequences and interpreting the regulation, but not necessarily on monitoring every day, you know, some newsletters that are random where you don't know if you will find the right information or not, and where you need to scroll down so many pages before being able to know if this is relevant to you or not. So that's really where the technology can help.